All right, Jonathan Ferroni. I'm here with Jonathan, and I want to talk about today recruiting and hiring the right people. And Jonathan, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself and how you have obtained the status that you've obtained thus far?
Absolutely. So good afternoon. Thanks for the introduction. I appreciate that. I have been in the recruiting business now for a little over a decade and started kind of small. You know, started in the engineering space, and just over time had the opportunity to really grow that operation and started growing new divisions and kept growing and growing and growing. We work for a very aggressive company. You know, there's a lot of competition in the recruiting world, and it's very much a sales type role. And you have to be cutting edge. You have to be ahead of the competition. You have to be aggressive about it. You're calling people late at night, weekends, Sundays. It's all, how do you go above and beyond? And yeah. Over the years, oh, I'm sorry. Please go ahead, Frank.
No, go ahead.
Just over the years, it's really been perfecting that, what works, what doesn't work. It's a lot of trial and error. And how I got to today is this is really an operation that came out of sometimes a good timing, right, where we needed someone in this operation, came here, grew it, and literally have grown to the biggest account actually in our company currently.
And awesome.
It's all about how do you beat the competition, right? So kind of what you're doing today is learning about the art. That's literally what I did. You have to learn about the art, learn what others are doing, how do you perfect it, what works for us, and keep moving forward.
So the company you work for now is EASI?
Yes. Okay. It's pronounced easy. Now everyone says EASI, but it is
yeah. Got it. That's actually, I like that. It's not difficult at all. But I'm just thinking EASI. I don't know why I didn't think of Easy initially, but okay, cool. And how many employees does Easy have?
So the engagement I'm with is 350. As a whole, it's about 3,500.
3,500. Okay. And your primary role is to recruit engineers?
Yes. And okay. It's in a certain industry, and it does expand more than just engineering, but that's primarily the skill sets. It's engineers, designers, project managers, a lot of the skills that you find in that realm.
Awesome. Okay, cool. So obviously the type of person that you're targeting may be different than, you know, different other industries, right? So you're obviously looking for a specific technical skill with regards to the engineers that you're hiring, right? And they're mainly going to be civil engineers, correct?
It could be a combination of electrical, civil, sometimes mechanical. Primarily, it's actually electrical the most. But then there's a decent amount of civil, depending on what business line it is.
Awesome. Cool. So with regards to scaling, what are tips you have when somebody wants to grow fast? Choosing the right people and putting those people in the right positions.
Absolutely. So if you need to scale fast, that's what we had to do here. We had really strict deadlines from our clients. We had to grow fast. So immediately it's identifying where's the hot pockets of these skill sets. You know, there's this, so you can do a market analysis, there's different ways of going about that. Where are these folks? And it's Chicago, Charlotte, wherever it might be. And it's immediately identifying the trends in the industry of why would someone leave their current situation to come join our company?
Sure.
And so you're going after a certain demographic, meaning in this industry, particularly for what we're in, it's a very stable industry. There's not much moving around, but there's a lot of folks that are looking for that next level in their career, and they don't get it at their current role. So it's way more than just a technical skill set. That's a piece of it. But we're looking for folks that almost have that entrepreneurial mindset of, hey, come join our company, help us build something. It's exciting. Come be a part of this. And so when you're scaling, it's immediately getting to that, getting them excited, getting them bought into what we're going on and it's all about timing. You know, a lot of times it's, you know, either they got acquired, maybe they got merged with a company. So it's with the team, it's keeping the team disciplined. They're niched in what they do with what they recruit on and what part of the country they recruit on, what skill sets they're recruiting on. There's a lot of accountability with it. And it's a lot of going in fast and figuring out how do we get this person to come join our company.
Got it. So with regards to, besides the technical skill of engineering, what else are you looking for in somebody that you're trying to hire?
Communication, leadership, the ability to work within a team.
Communication and leadership.
Yeah, we're big on culture with our company. We want it to be fun, right? So we want people to be progressive, have fun with us here. We want to be the kind of company where the industry is a very old industry. We want to be very progressive. You know, we need to be innovative. So we want the folks coming in with their ideas, and maybe they couldn't implement their companies, but they can thrive here doing that.
Got it. So with regards to like the technical skills, could you sacrifice some of the technical skills if their attitude and if their good company culture fit? Like, could you hire somebody straight out of college? They don't have the so much experience, but they're just a good cultural fit.
It depends on the role. Sometimes we definitely need that technical skill set because it's required for that particular project. But we have a lot of those people on our staff now. So now we are at the ability where we're looking for those future leaders.
Sure.
So it still depends a little bit on the role. Sometimes it is a little niche, but really it's both. Where we are now, we really are looking for those people to really grow in the leadership roles. We hire a lot of school. 20% of our hires actually are trained at the school.
Now, where do you fit on the scale of other companies? Like, are there much, much larger companies compared to you guys? And are you competing for employees from those much larger companies?
Absolutely are. So this company's been around for a lot longer. So we've been around about 28 years, but this, in this industry in itself, it's only been about 9 to 10 years. So we're very much a newer player in this.
Sure.
So I like to use the word disruptor. We are absolutely disrupting industry with what we're doing because a lot of other companies have become complacent. And so what's happening is we are going after the same talent, but we're providing that opportunity to, hey, come here. You can help build a company, be a part of something, help grow something. And that's how we get these folks. But we absolutely do complete the same talent.
So tell me the process of finding good talent. Tell me, like, where do you go first? When they come into the interview, what are you doing? How are you interviewing them? Are you having multiple people interview them? How do you find the cultural fit? I want to know all of that.
Okay, sounds good. So let me start with the first piece of that. So we have our own proprietary CRM software tool. We house all of our applicants in there, and that's basically like a living, working resume.
Sure.
And so that records all of our conversations from writing it down. And so that's where we go first, is all the people we've talked in the past. It's our network. From there, if they're not interested, we get referrals from there. So that's our first resource. That's where we're hiring most of our candidates from, those relationships.
Can I cut you off for a second? Now, absolutely. If you don't have this proprietary software, right? This is a company filled with engineers. I studied engineering. You guys have a proprietary software. If you don't have a proprietary software, just go on LinkedIn and use Recruiter or something like that, right?
Absolutely.
You don't necessarily need to have a proprietary software. So I just wanted to cover that point. And then
absolutely. Now we quickly go to LinkedIn too. So
yeah,
quickly we get into there, and that's really our second source of most hiring is actually from LinkedIn.
Very
it's
nice.
It's an amazing tool. You probably see them super active on it.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing tool. Get a lot of those passive job seekers. That's where you're getting them immediately. And that's where we spend most of our time, just finding these people there and just cold calling them right at work, you know? And so, some are receptive, some are not. Right?
Wow. So I've tried that. I've tried cold calling them right at work. And I don't know, maybe I quit on that too early, but it was really awkward.
That's like, a good way to put it.
So I tried to recruit this guy and he was very interested, but he was right by his manager. So I was like, how do you even, like, can you go over that process? Like how to overcome that?
Absolutely. It's all about the approach. You know, so I immediately get in the vulnerability. Hey, Frank, I know I'm calling you at work. I know you're probably next to your manager right now. I came across your background. It's a great fit for our company. I would love to see if this can be beneficial for you and for your future. Is this a good time or is there a better time to get a hold of you? And I keep it short, sweet, simple, right to the point, recognize their situation. And I use it as a touch point. I never go into that call, like, hey, this is the call. It's basically when I can get to hold this person after work, during lunch, a more appropriate time.
Sure. And so take me from the interview to all the way to hiring this person and how to find that cultural fit. And on top of that, the second point I want you to talk about is, are you going into other people's networks within the company and trying to hire from their networks?
We do share that software is a common, everyone's in there. And
yeah.
We try to do the right thing. You know, we're not going to just go and steal another recruiter. So we're on the same team.
Sure.
for the interview piece, for the culture, we do have, as it kind of addressed one of your previous questions too. So we do a panel interview. We look at core competencies. So we're looking at leadership, communication. It's the whole traditional STAR method, right, of interviewing, right? The situational, tactics, action, result. We want to really know what people have specifically done. And that's how we tie them into our culture. We're looking for certain competencies and there's a rating that we go off of. Mm-hmm. And then that's how we see, is this person the best fit for our company? I'm sorry, please go ahead.
Yeah, so if you had four criteria that you look for in like a candidate, what would those criteria be?
It's leadership.
Leadership.
Team, meaning teamwork, communication, and innovation.
Interesting, innovation.
Mm-hmm. We want to know what people can bring to the table from an idea perspective because we want to progress and get better. So we want to know what people have around thoughts with that.
You guys are hungry. You're not trying to be complacent.
No, absolutely not. We've seen firsthand where several of our clients have gone through looking at their vendors and putting a value to them and kicking out vendors they've worked with for 30 years.
Wow.
And it's because they get complacent. We've seen that firsthand.
Wow. Okay.
Gotta bring value. And that value can change, right? But you have to stay on top of that.
You have to consistently bring value. Gotcha. Okay. So, any tips regarding just, so are you involved more in just the recruiting aspect, or do you also help with the kind of implementation operations as well of it? Like, okay, this is the department you're part of. Here's the people you need to meet. Like, are you involved in that process?
I'm not too involved with that process. We actually have a team, an onboarding team that deals with that.
Sure.
I've been involved with building it out, but I don't get involved with it now. I really hand it off to a different group now, and they really run with that piece.
Got it. Okay, so let me ask you easy question and hard question. You cool with that?
Absolutely.
Okay, so easy question. What's one major success you've had regarding recruiting? Hard question is, what's one major failure that you've had regarding recruiting?
Absolutely. Part of my biggest success is just the current situation that I've entered. I've entered a situation where it's not a transient market. People do not move around in jobs, and they've tasked me and my team with some of the hardest skill sets in the industry, and we will deliver on that. And over 7 years, we've hired over 800 people into our company, becoming the biggest account for the company.
Wow.
So definitely one of my biggest successes. And the best piece of that is it's not so much individual, but I had the team really have the opportunity to come with me on that journey. And I've had others really excel their skills. So that's been awesome.
That's awesome.
One of the worst pieces about it is I feel like there's still so much more opportunity to give back and expand outside away from this account.
Sure.
I feel like there's been a lot of missed opportunities of helping others, helping other accounts, and just helping them more, maybe they come in more from a holistic level. It's been easy to be siloed in this. And right. Then there's also so much more out in the world that I feel like there's opportunities to impact there. Because even this nice conversation that we're having now, you're looking to understand more about it,
right?
You know, about recruiting. And I feel like that is where I can really help bring value to others. Is to help on that area.
So, okay. So two questions. How do you create a process for scaling with regards to hiring? And then if somebody's that's listening to this podcast wants to hire somebody like you, what are things they should look for?
Okay. So the creating and processing, it's really determining. So it's, what are the skill sets? Where are they at? How are we going to attack them? Meaning how are we going to go after that? And what are we going to offer to that talent pool that other companies can't do? Because when you're scaling, it is a matter of being fast. And so it's how you're able to hook them fast. So you really have to understand very quickly, what are your talent pool looking like and what's going to be attractive to them and what's going to hook them fast.
Right.
Now that's kind of broad right for the moment right here. But it's really just that's the formula for it.
And so what you're doing is you're going on LinkedIn or you're calling them at their place of work and you're trying to recruit them for another company. That's a hard sell, man. I got to tell you. So you're trying to recruit them from another company. How long does that process take normally? Because I mean, engineering is high in demand, right? So people have options. But like, what are you saying? What's the process? How long does it take to recruit that person from the other person? And how do you know they're even good? How do you know they're a good employee?
So I'll give you the average time to fill for some of our high-level roles. It's 4 months.
Yeah, 4 months.
So some of my recruits have taken me 5 years.
Whoa.
So now that's not necessarily always for a specific position. That's just staying in touch with someone over the years.
And just having that network.
Exactly. It's timing. Yeah. So that's really probably the biggest piece of this is building those relationships over the years, the cliche building the relationships. When it comes to the recruiting piece, for me, it's about the opportunity. And it's not from a compensation standpoint. It's what opportunity can provide to help me progress my career and my skills, and how can I make an impact to a company. That is my sell to a lot of these engineers that I'm calling. It's, do you really have the opportunity at your current company to make the impact that you want from the skills that you have?
Right.
That gets a lot of engineers excited because they want to be innovative and they want to use their skills and abilities.
Yeah.
And they want to be able to see the impact of that.
So let me put the shoes of an engineer that's about to be hired. Now, when people go into the engineering field, just because I'm a little familiar with this, people go into the engineering field feeling that they're going to be on the field all the time. Where when they go into a company, a lot of times what happens is they just do design work or whatever the case may be, right?
Yes.
So when I'm working at a company, a lot of those engineers are working in a cubicle. They really, honestly, a lot of, like 90% of them want to be on the field. They want to be a project manager. They want to like see where things are going. They want to be, they want to implement some of the things that are necessary to finish a project, right?
Yes.
So,
absolutely.
So is that a selling point? Do you do that? Do you put people in places where they personally want to be? So like, let's say I don't want to be in a cubicle. I want to be out in the field. Is that like a hot point that you sell to them? Like, hey, we're very flexible. We're very progressive. We're going to do whatever we can to get you to work with the company. If they're, let's say they're a good fit, right? Is that what you tell them?
So for our particular roles, they're actually not very field-based. They actually more design engineering side. So for example, for you as a candidate, I'd probably say this is probably not the best fit for you if your path really lies in the field. But you're hitting a really key point there. It's what does this person really want? Because you're right. A lot of engineers do want to be hands-on. They do want to be out there in the field. Now, our engineers go to the field. They're probably about 15-20% of the time.
Right.
You know, so it has to be very comfortable that way. They want to be more on the front side of project from the design side. It really has to be a match for their skills and what they want to do.
Sure, what they want to do.
So okay, I'm sorry, you may not be the best fit for our company if you want to.
Let's do a mock interview really quick. Okay? Let's say you're trying to recruit me, right? And I'm like, I've looked into your company. I mean, I'm working at, let's say, Turner Construction. I don't know if that's a competitor of yours, but
I'm familiar with them.
What was that? You're familiar?
I'm familiar with them.
Okay. Yeah. So let's say Turner Construction. I'm like, hey, Turner Construction offered me this really great job, huge company, big benefits, right? Like, why should I work with your company over like Turner, a huge company like Turner Construction?
Our company immediately you're going to get the opportunity to get a lot more innovative in standards and processes. When you go into a big company like Turner, not saying they're a bad company, they actually have an amazing reputation in the industry. But a lot of what they do is already set in stone. You know, they have standards, processes that have been established over the years. With working for a company like ours, you're going to have a lot more opportunity to make an impact on what those processes and standards are. So you're going to have a lot more say in building that group, a lot more say in where you want to take your career and what you want to do with it. And with what we do, there's so much opportunity for advancement because we're creating roles every single week, every single year. Literally last year, we promoted 65 people in our company, which are newer.
Oh, so you're saying, hey, there's not room for growth really in Turner Construction. A lot of room. So here's the thing. Here's what I want to get to. So you guys are a little bit larger company. Let's say people are just on the verge of scaling, right? They're on the verge of scaling. And one thing I've come across is competing with those larger companies. It's very difficult, right? Especially when people have these kind of preconceived notions as to what they deserve, you know, when they come to a job, right? You've experienced that, you're a recruiter, right?
Absolutely.
So they have these like preconceived notions, like I want this, 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 and this. Like what do you do to So the one selling point that you have is, look, there's a lot of room for growth, right? And that is almost like a qualification on your part to them. Like if they're just coming just like, I want this, this, and this, you're like, probably not a good fit, not a good cultural fit. We want somebody that wants to grow and grow with the company. But that's a selling point, and that's the type of person you're looking for. Somebody that's willing to grow and somebody will take a chance with your company. Now, I want people to understand that at every single level, unless you're like this gigantic company, there's always competition. And so there has to be some type of vision other, because if you can't offer the benefits or the pay or the whatever the case may be, I'm sure you guys do. And I'm sure there's people that can that lose employees to you guys, right? But the one selling point is like, what's the main, like if you had two selling points that really get people involved, what would those selling points be?
The two main ones I use, culture and the environment, and it's the training and development that we can offer.
Gotcha.
Culture and environment, it is broad. It's a little high level, right? Mm-hmm. That plays into everything that we've been talking about. It's just that all the opportunities for growth, building something, the entrepreneur mindset. And that's what people love this company is because of that piece. And that's right. It's a little unique in this industry. So that's why we can use that as a selling tool. Now, not going to work for everybody, right? Some people, times people want more of that stability and that security. So that's why sometimes candidates don't work out, because they're looking kind of what you're saying. Sometimes they want a certain thing, and that's okay. It just may not be the right fit for us.
Right. It's not a right fit. So you're probably going to send them on their way to, gotcha. Sure. Now, let's see. How important is the initial training? Do you train specifically for technical skills, or do you train specifically for like cultural fits? Like how does that work?
For sure. We actually do both. So we have technical training and we actually do leadership training as well. So it's a combination of communication, leadership, teamwork. There's like certain companies we use to help out with that. And we have some of our own internal training as well.
How important is it to have a scalable model for training itself? So this is a key point. What a lot of companies do is, because we're a training company, a lot of companies, what they'll do is when they're in their growth mindset, they'll not have a scalable training model. They'll spend all of their hours training people and maybe the entire week just training. Is that what you guys do? Do you have like specific roles for trainers, or do you have some type of scalable system that trains everyone? Like, is there an online platform? How do you guys do that?
So there's a combination of both. So we do have trainers that come in and do the in-classroom training, if you will. But there's also follow-up with modules. There's also online training. So there's different avenues that we go about it. So it's kind of like the multifaceted approach.
And these are with the engineers, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's with everybody.
Yeah.
Because the online, they come in for the inline training, that's nice, but then it goes away. So you have to have that consistent follow-up. And the modules, those are nice too, but you have to do all of it. So it's the combination of the modules, the online.
Yeah. Do you guys create a training system for every particular role within the company? Even if as low as like administrative assistant, the assistant to the assistant's assistant, do you have a training course for that or a training?
We're not there just yet. Yeah, that's a need we're working on. We know that's something we need to work on, but
yeah. Got it. Because that's itself is worth millions of dollars.
Right? Oh, for sure.
cool, man. Hey, well, are there any tips that you have regarding using LinkedIn to find the candidates? Because I know, you know that's what we do. What are you doing consistently to find people on LinkedIn? Are you using any tactics, any tricks?
It's really just being super engaged on it and just being super active. You know, I see so much recruiters just throw out a post, right? Oh, come check out this posting.
Yeah.
No one's looking at that.
Right.
You know, you have to consistently do that every single day. You have to give information out. You have to post articles. You have to get industry news out there. You have to be super engaged. You know, and so the second someone looks at me on LinkedIn as an engineer, I immediately connect to them. I send them a message and say, hey, I saw that you reached out to me. You know, I'd love to have a conversation. So it's engaging right away.
How did you connect with me initially?
So I've been on a massive tear right now of connecting with a lot of like the top influencers on LinkedIn. I think you came up because, I follow, I don't know, Seamless.ai.
Yeah.
I follow Seamless heavily And I think you guys talk a little bit. And so I think I saw your name and, oh, Frank looks pretty sweet.
Oh, that's awesome. So I've used Seamless. I don't know. You guys should go watch the episode on Seamless that I had with Brandon Bernanson. But Seamless, essentially what it does is it helps you find direct contact information, direct emails, intel of any particular person on LinkedIn or outside of LinkedIn, just in a particular company. Are you using Seamless to do that?
I am not. Now, I have it downloaded on my computer.
Yeah.
The intent is to do that. And I'm trying to figure out a way to help Brandon out. I do think that'd be awesome in our company if we use it. So I have it there. It's ready to go. I just have to figure out how can I convince my leadership right to use it.
I think
it's an awesome tool.
I've tested. Have you talked to Brandon yet?
So I actually know Brandon, not like super super well, but we went to OU together a little bit.
Oh, okay. Interesting. We used to
work a lot of time together.
Yeah, and, dude, I tried this. I tried it. I tried recruiting, and it does work. But it was just so awkward because there was like managers in the same room that hired these people. So it's like,
you gotta get the awkward stuff, man. That's as long as you are not awkward about it, the situation is gonna be fine. And it's not gonna be flawless, or it's not gonna be 100%.
Yeah,
I always call it it's the human element, right? We all have stuff going on. We're all busy, and the fact of the matter is, my responsibility is to get a hold of the talent.
Yeah.
If I say, oh, I can't call them during the workday, right? I can't get a hold of them because they're at work. I'm not going to have anybody to call. You know, you have to get past that.
So I want to be clear with everybody listening. Like, I use Seamless to potentially recruit people that are people that I want to talk to. And just to let you know, you don't have to be worried about. You can offer what you can afford. Essentially, you don't always have to pay the most or whatever the case may be. Some people could be sold on the fact that there's a lot of growth in the company and they'll take a pay cut. And those are the people you want anyways, right?
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So on some level, you guys are doing, you guys are a very successful company, but at some level, every company has to do that. They have to go, look, I can't offer you what this so-and-so company... Sorry, I can't offer you what so-and-so company can offer you, but what I can offer is a growth. I can offer you a potential executive position in the future, something that would be a very high level. And that's the angle that you come sometimes to employees with, correct?
For sure. Awesome. And I only want to be clear too. It's not, there's, we could go over hours and hours and hours talking about the recruiting strategies. There's so many, there's short-term strategies, midterm, long-term, and there's so many ways to tackle it. And one of the things I'd be careful of is when you get into the mindset of selling to candidates, that's where you actually don't get candidates.
Really?
You know, it's really being consultative with the candidates. Now, again, you could play with words a little bit, right? But it's, when you start to sell a candidate, that's where you're not going to get them engaged. And they're like, okay, this person, they're just trying to sell me, get them to fill a position. And so it's really figuring out what that person wants and needs. And is it a fit? And the second you start pushing and selling, it's not going to be the right.
So recruiting is a little bit different. There's like kind of like a selling component to it, but you don't want to come off too salesy and you want them to work for you're offering them something, right? You're offering them, you know, salary, wages, whatever the case may be, benefits. You're not really selling them anything. You're selling them a lot more than just the product, right? You're selling them, hey, I want you to change your life. I want you to work at a different location, whatever the case may be. So that is a much larger sale in most cases.
For sure.
So somebody transitioning from I'm just a salesperson selling products to somebody that's trying to recruit people, the sale is different regarding not trying to be too salesy and making sure that's very relationship centered.
Yep.
That's essentially what you're.
Well, I would assume and think that in sales too, that I think Brandon, just watching Brandon a lot, for example, a lot. I don't think he tries to sell too much, right? I think he's excited about his product. He talks about the benefit of his product. He tries to show the value in his product. And I think he just shows people if you partake in this is the value you can really grow your business. So yes, it's selling, right? But I feel like you should never force selling anything, you know? Sure. And so, so I mean, I think, you know what I'm saying, Frank. If you're trying to sell, I feel like it's not going to work. But if you truly are bringing the value to someone and showing what your product is about, then you shouldn't have to sell.
Yeah, that's true. Enthusiasm takes the pressure off selling. Yep. Like being enthusiastic, not putting so much pressure, because it is a tough decision for a lot of people to make that decision to work with you. Now, do you ever hire recruited students? Do you ever recruit at campuses and things of that nature?
Absolutely. We're actually going to Ohio State tomorrow. We hire about 19-20% of our hires from colleges.
How do you develop this is a good subject right here. How do you develop relationships with universities to be able to recruit from those universities?
So it's all about the professors.
Right.
It's all about the local student branches. For us, it'd be like an IEEE, for example.
Sure.
And it's going to the classes and presenting who we are as a company and the opportunities that we have. And really the career fairs, those are just more about meeting the students we've ever met, who already talked to in the past. And we use that more just as a branding. Hey, we're here in the community to support the school. And so it's really, what are we doing for those students outside of that career fair? And that's by meeting with the professors, doing things for the professors. Like, well, this one university, we're working with the students on their resumes, you know, showing, hey, this is how to make a really great resume. So it's providing value to those students.
Providing value. Giving advice about their
work. Gotcha. Yep.
And then that alone can create loyalty in the long term.
Big time.
Because
like a lot of success.
It's the same thing with everything, man. Like I always talk about creating content, creating value first. You saw one of my pieces of content and there was value in it, I believe, or something of that nature. And it's the same thing. It works in every aspect, recruiting at every level, any type of sale that you're going to make, it works at every level. Right. So providing value to universities, providing value to professors, right, is going to help a lot, right? And the students are, a lot of them are very hungry to grow and expand their opportunities, and they want to potentially work with a company that has a growth mindset as well. So universities are amazing to recruit from, and I like that. That's a really good point. Create value to these professors, create value to these students, because that's what really gets them to potentially go, huh, this is interesting. I kind of like this person, whatever the case may be. Oh, I learned this extra tip that really helped me out. And I'd rather work with this company that was providing something for free as opposed to another company that was just like trying to recruit me and say, this is how much you're getting paid. Because I don't even think like in universities, they're not really too focused on necessarily what they're getting paid initially, because they don't really have a lot of expenses. And at least initially, right? They're not really thinking about that, right? If you're recruiting for somebody that has a family, it's a little bit different. But if you're recruiting somebody that's a student, really what they're looking for, like what do you think they're primarily looking for? Growth or?
I always say they look for the sexy opportunities that I say. So they want to go out to the big companies. So that, you know, they want the Googles, the Facebooks, the LinkedIns, you know.
Yeah.
And that's great. But so do like thousands and thousands and thousands of other students, you know? Yeah. And so that's the play that we have here is that's great. If you can get that job there, that's great. But there's 7,000 students that aren't getting it. And so that's why I throw that value here. Like, look, you come work for us and we're going to take care of you. You know, we're going to invest in you, you know, and look at the value we're going to provide to you.
Absolutely. Hey man, really thank you so much. Anybody listening, one last tip that you want to provide or insight or whatever, you can say anything you want as the last thing to say in this podcast, and would appreciate it so much.
Absolutely. So really my last piece of advice here, it's all about the candidate experience from a recruiting perspective. So it's all about the human experience. It's you have to create excitement within someone, and that's going to give them the A, be willing to work with you, B, look at you further and look at your opportunity further. And see, really, they know that you're looking out for them. So it's about, you're not selling. It's the canned experience. Create something they want to be a part of.
Hey, man, I really appreciate you being on this podcast. If there's a potential candidate that is listening to this podcast or somebody that potentially wants to work with your company, can you share the employment opportunity and also the company you work with and what they offer?
For sure. So it's easy. It's EASI. And we do engineering services for a multitude of different industries. And really probably the best way to connect with me is probably through LinkedIn, because my email is on there. My phone number is on there.
Sure.
And that's probably the best way to get a hold of me.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks, man. Really appreciate you. And hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks so much, Frank. Really appreciate it.
Of course, man.